This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Gokul Salai, the CEO of Novatio Solutions, a leading digital workforce solutions provider that transforms challenging, time-consuming, or labor-intensive tasks into jobs for robots. Dr. Salai, a pleasure to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And you're most welcome. Our pleasure. So, Dr. Salai, what is a digital workforce and how does that work?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so I always get asked first, when we talk about robots, are these, physical robots? And, the question that we get asked is, do you have to oil these or do you have to, essentially, do you get to pick what color they are? But, the best way I explain the digital workforce is I look at the state of the automobile industry about 30 years ago. And obviously, labor was a lot different then. A lot of the work was manual. So with automation and modernization, we were able to come up with physical robots to repeat that kind of labor-intensive physical work. But as we've evolved into a service-oriented economy, we realize that a lot of the work that's done is digital. So we go in, and who doesn't? I can't name one person who doesn't go in, and you'll have to interface with some kind of computer every day. And a lot of that work is redundant. You're moving information from place to place, answering emails with the same answer over and over, putting in simple requests. It's not what humans were wired to do. We're not using our brains properly. So what we did was create these digital robots, which work together as a digital workforce to essentially do these tasks that no one wants to do. And as far as how it works, just like a human would have a process to complete, let's take the healthcare industry, that's where my background is. When you go into the doctor's office, you have a secretary who has to first ask you for your information and then enter that information into a system. And let's mention here that there might be some errors here that might cause some complications later on. Then they wait for a response or log on to a portal and then get back to you, and it's a tedious, time-consuming task, whereas you should be able to just come into the doctor's office and, be programmed to see the doctor right away. So what we do is have these digital workers do that kind of repetitive, redundant work.
Now, if you would, Dr. Salai, what are the technologies involved here when we're looking at a digital workforce?
Yeah, so this is, like I said, these are more digital tools. And, the first thing to keep in mind is that automation is something that's been around for many, many, many years. But the key differentiator here is that, we're not writing any code. We're not using any APIs or any of, the complicated tech stuff on the back end. What we're actually doing is repeating this work just like humans would on the front end, or what they call in the tech world, the presentation layers. So we have software tools that, just like you would tell a person to click here to open your email, type this into this field, search for this email. Once you find this email, open the attachment. We can emulate that with these digital tools. And so we kind of model the workflow and essentially have it completed every single time with these software tools.
And thanks for your response. Most helpful. Now, what is the difference between a digital workforce, robotic process automation, or RPA, and artificial intelligence?
Yeah, that's a question that really is going to help explain the spectrum of how technology evolves. So robotic process automation is the first step in a spectrum of tools that we use. So like it says, process automation, you're taking these redundant processes and, as I mentioned before, using these software tools to automate those processes. And, everyone always says, hey, are these, is this artificial intelligence? Is this something like Siri? What I tell them first is, Siri really isn't artificial intelligence. Neither is Alexa. It's essentially those tools are making your lives incrementally easier, you know, like playing a track, changing the temperature, you know, ordering an Uber, things that really aren't life-changing. But when you have robotic process automation, you have the tasks that keep you at work later, the things that you keep till the end of the day, preventing you from going home at 5 o'clock, you know, for doctors, charting, making sure you do your medical coding and billing and compliance, keeping you at work later than you're already your long shift. And, you know, similarly for nurses who are working extremely long time, we can simplify some of this. But, you know, these do have to follow rules that are repeatable. And so when we look at the next spectrum, just like you know, humans learn from experiences, you know, robots and AI is going to evolve from data. So robotic process automation creates this rough data, which we can then plug into these cognitive tools in order to make better decisions. So instead of just simple tasks like, do I want to prescribe this medication or not, we could take it an extra step, you know, look at when it was prescribed, make calls out to, you know, say we're doing a controlled substance, we can do some logic there to make sure that we're keeping patients safe. So that's essentially how the technology evolves. We then have that term, a digital workforce. So that's essentially robots working in tandem, you know, using this robotic process automation to create, to complete tasks on a more macro level. So for instance, you could have, you could look at medical coding. So instead of just looking at a chart, one chart, having robots move from one to the other, you can break down these processes. So for instance, you can have one of the robotic workers look into just heart failure. You can have another one look into just diabetes, another one look into congestive heart failure. And the cohort of these different technologies working together creates a workforce. Just like you have different employees there create a workforce, we now have a digital workforce. And lastly, when we get into artificial intelligence, the key thing I like to mention there is that no one really knows how we're going to get to this area. I mean, we'll ultimately get there, but we need to work on creating the definitions. And I brought up Siri before. There's a lot of other smart tools like that. But at the same time, we need to focus on getting this data, continual feedback, and, you know, essentially as these evolve, we'll get to a point to where the technology helps, you know, doctors, nurses, pretty much anyone in any industry makes smarter, more informed decisions leading to better outcomes.
In taking that further, what would you say are the benefits of digital workforces?
Yeah, so the first thing, you know, if we look at it from the perspective, from the macro perspective, you know, doing medicine in the U.S. is already, you know, it's turning into a business. And, you know, unfortunately, you have to worry about your costs. A lot of the work traditionally was outsourced, some of the billing and coding, and so why leave that work to other countries? We can bring in that work back to the U.S. and essentially, you know, not have to spend money stimulating other economies. You know, I say that because, you know, a lot of times we worry about losing jobs, and when robots come up, they think in the U.S. that, you know, we're actually going to be losing jobs here. But, you know, what happens is we're bringing more jobs back on shore, and that's what we've seen with our studies. And second, the benefits are making, as I alluded to before, making people's lives easier, doing those tasks that frankly no one really wants to do, letting us go home earlier, giving our patients from the healthcare side better outcomes. And, you know, I mentioned the business side of things in the beginning, and these, you know, digital workers cost 1/10 the price of an employee. They are 100% productive, so they work 24/7 around the clock. They make zero errors, so that benefits everyone.
Today we're speaking with Dr. Gokul Salai, CEO of Novatio Solutions, a leading digital workforce solutions provider that transforms challenging, time-consuming, or labor-intensive tasks into jobs for robots, here on eHealth Radio's healthcare and technology channels, a part of the eHealth Radio network. Now, Dr. Salai, what type of companies do you work with, and how are you implementing a digital workforce for their organization?
Yeah, so, you know, the great thing about this technology, and obviously, this the previous part leading up to this has been healthcare focused, given myself practicing medicine. But we don't look at it as a verticalized approach. So we don't have a different solution for finance versus retail versus technology. Every vertical has these processes that are similar. And what we aim to do is kind of standardize our approach to these processes. So the example I would give is, a financial institution, a retail company, and a technology company all have to onboard and offboard employees. Yeah, and we'll even look at healthcare. You might have to enter patients, such as the scenario I mentioned before. So there are similarities between all of the processes that you're doing in these verticals. So why create a different solution for each one of these different industries? So what we've done is create these kind of standard solutions, or we call them standard bots, that we can bring into a company. And the way we're able to differentiate ourselves is that when we take these solutions to a company, we can say we are going to, because we have the knowledge and the experience from creating these processes over and over, we can implement this solution much faster than our competitors. So that's kind of our main differentiator, is we can increase the time to value. And the other thing, when you have these standardized processes that we've created and put the research into, it also mitigates your risk for an organization to change, because we've proven this over and over and tested it multiple times. As far as who our competitors are, the market right now is relatively fresh. RPA has been in the U.S. for probably 3 years and become mainstream in the last year or two. There's our company is a little bit on the smaller side. We have in total about 500 people, but there's companies, the giants, Ernst & Young, Deloitte, IBM, who approach their clients with this solution. But we're a smaller, agile company. We can provide more boutique or customized services. So that's the other thing that kind of differentiates us. And, lastly, from the healthcare side, I did mention that there are similarities between, the verticals, but, healthcare, when you're dealing with, personal data, with HIPAA and other sensitive information, there are subtleties to implementing a solution there and making it compliant, and also making your patients feel comfortable. I think that's where my background in healthcare and being a doctor comes in to differentiate us even more on the healthcare side.
Also, in your best opinion, how will this revolutionize the healthcare industry?
Yeah, so if we once again take the spectrumized look to this, initially it's going to make our lives, it's going to streamline some of the complexities that we have, some of these pain points when we go to see a doctor. I mean, I know when I go in and I get asked the same information 10 times, I get frustrated, and I could similarly see how a patient would feel. So eliminating all that redundant work in the first place is how it's going to have an immediate impact on our lives. And kind of piggybacking off of that, any of these accuracy issues that we have from the side of, hey, we billed the wrong insurance, or this procedure wasn't approved, or you owe this much money to insurance when you didn't know that you had a certain supplemental insurance, all those errors that are kind of causing a nuisance are going to be eliminated. Furthermore, from the actual patient-facing side, we can make smarter decisions. So when orders are put into a computer, they're kind of pushed through. We don't have the bandwidth to examine all of the ramifications of giving someone this medication or doing a blood transfusion with a different type. So we can automate those and also keep an eye on these decisions. And so if we take a step back and make the solution more robust, we can see all the errors that may have been made and use cognitive and machine learning tools to prevent these from happening again. And ultimately, what we can do is, once we compile all these lessons that we learn, is we can create something that is going to kind of sit right next to a physician to kind of be almost a personal assistant. The physician, is going to do the patient-facing activities, but this kind of assistant is going to help make smarter decisions. And I think for me personally, that's important, because we are losing the personal touch of medicine because doctors are performing these robotic tasks. I like to go in, talk to the patient, cover the other aspects of healing, talking to the patient's family, making sure that what's preventing them from taking their medication. So I think ultimately you have the technology piece that I mentioned, but the key differentiator is going to be a more humanistic improvement and due to the fact that we have more time to deal with patients and deliver better health care.
Well, certainly most helpful information, and we can't thank you enough for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. In conclusion, and lastly, how can we better help people to understand the benefits of robots in the workforce?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So I think, first of all, obviously listening to this this podcast, we have a lot of information on our website as well. And I think the key thing is when we look at our website and explaining this, we try to do it very simplistically. Now, my background's not in technology. So when I picked up this this process, I had to kind of learn it in layman's terms. So, you know, the first thing I'd do is there you can look into the benefits of it. And what I'd look for especially is don't focus or gravitate towards those articles that say, hey, the robots are here, the world is ending, we have a Terminator-type scenario coming. I would focus more on the immediate term effects and how they're going to simplify our lives, and then, you know, slowly granularize, you know, the things that are interesting to you. So kind of take it step by step.
Earlier, you mentioned your websites. Where can listeners get further information on Novatio Solutions, and how could they also be in contact as well?
Yeah, so our website is www.novatio solutions.com. There's a blog section with posts that I fill out, and as well as several white papers we've released. We're on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. So those are the main areas. And if they have any questions, we'd love for them to reach out to us.
Dr. Sowai, it certainly has been our pleasure to have had you. All the best, and thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me again, and hope this was informational.
And no doubt it was, and we can't thank you enough for all the details. We've been speaking with Dr. Gokul Sowai, the CEO of Novatio Solutions, once again a leading digital workforce solutions provider that transforms challenging, time-consuming, or labor-intensive tasks into jobs for robots. And for further details, simply visit NovatioSolutions.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.